Okay, we're starting the top of Pei Vav of an Aleph. Yesterday we left off the story about Shmuel and Rabbi. The Rabbi was trying to be Somech Shmuel and was unsuccessful at that. And as Nechama, he told him that he already saw this in the Sefer Adam HaRishon. And now the Gemara continues. We left off in the middle of what the Sefer Adam HaRishon speaks about. So we talked about the first thing that it mentions, which is the status of Shmuel and his relationship with Rabbi. So now the second or third items that are mentioned in the Sefer Toledot Adam that are mentioned here by Rabbi is on the second line of Pei Vav Amud Aleph, which is Tehei Rabbi v'Rabbi Natan Sof Mishnah, that Rabbi and Rabbi Natan are going to be the end of the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi v'Ravina Sof Hora'ah, and Rav Ashi and Ravina will be the end of Hora'ah, the end of giving Psak Halacha. We'll see what that means. Simanech, and the siman is Adavo El Mikdashi Kel Avina Lachritam. So that the play on the words is Mikdashi Rav Ashi, and Avina is Ravina, and then Achritam would be at the end. That'll be the end of the Hora'ah. So I think it's kedai to read over here. It's kedai to read the Rashi's. Rashi is pretty consistent. We've seen Rashi a number of times here be consistent about his shita with regards to the Mishnah and the Gemara, and how what the form of the Mishnah and the Gemara is. And here Rashi again says something very similar. So just as a broad perspective, when we say Tei Rebbe Rabbi Natan Sof Mishnah, means that they're the end of the Tanaim, right? And then Rav Ashi and Ravina Sof Hora means that they'll be the end of the Amoraim, the period of the Amoraim. So here Rashi explains the position. It says, for, if you look in Rashi, Sof HaMishnah, Sof Tanaim, Ajmehem Amru Ish et Dvarav Beit HaMidrash. People would say whatever they knew, whatever Torah they had, they'd come to the Beis Medrash, they'd say it. But you tell me, Dim Goshim Shmua Shmua Devada. And each memra or each halacha that was said over by a Tana, the Talmidim would learn it as the Rebbe spoke about it. But there was not necessarily any Seder, right, or easy way to organize all the information. There was no logical arrangement of the information, but things were mixed here and there. Whatever came out at the time, that's what was spoken about. So therefore, they got together and gathered together all the information of the generations before them. And they put together the mesechtot. And after them, only very little was added on after them. And that's when you talk about the Tosefta and the Breitot, Rav Chia and Rav Yoshia, who were Talmidim of, right, of Rabbi, that they have basically whatever they heard, they must have heard from Rabbi. But Rashi's basic position on the Mishnah is that the Mishnah was simply an organizational structure that Rabbi brought to the Torah that was random until that point. That there was no clear organization, no clear order to the Mishnayot, which obviously made it harder to learn, but also then didn't bring together the different opinions from different Chachamim. So by organizing it in Starim and organizing it in Masechtot, you allow, number one, for a logical order of information, makes it easier to remember. And number two is that you allow us to bring together all the different opinions into a single place. So that's the way Rashi views the Mishnah. It's obvious that you could see that others would argue on Rashi's position here about exactly what Rabbi did. Right? I mean, that when we say that Rabbi organized the Masechtot, Rashi, that's what Rashi thinks. You could have on both sides that people disagree, which there are, about what Rabbi did, whether it was the Mishnayot were already Sturot already. There were Masechtot, and all Rabbi did was write them down. I mean, that's a possibility, because the main limud that Rabbi has is Eit Lasod Hashem Eferu Torah Techa, was the ability to write the Mishnah down. So that's a possibility that it's all that Rabbi did was write it down. And you can have the other extreme, which was that Rabbi not only was Mesader the Masechtot, but he brought together all the information. I mean, in a sense that he either derived or went out and gathered this information, not just in a organizational structure, but in actually bringing out the halacha. He was trying to create a halachic process and halachic end to this period until that time. So now, the Gemara, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says about Rav Ashi and Ravina, Sof HaRa'ah, Rashi is going to say in the same type of description of the Gemara, which is Sof Kol Amorim, Adje Mehem Loita Gemara LaSeder. Again, until their time, there was no Gemara LaSeder. At this point already, the Mishnayot are organized. So there is Starim, and there are Masechtot, because Rabbi already did that. So what does it mean the Gemara was not organized? Elokosh Haita Sheila Nishelet V'Tama Mishnah B'Beit HaMidrash. It was just, they were reviewing the Mishnayot, and then when a question came up in the Beis Medrash, then they would say, oh, you know, on this, Oshela al Maseh Me'orah B'din, Mamon, O Isur V'Heter, something came to a judge, and they had to decide about it. Kol Echad V'Echad Omer Ta'amo. At that point in time, somebody would say it. So again, the information was free-flowing. It was not organized where questions on a single Mishnah or topically they were connected in any way. Rav Asher Avinu Sidru Shmuot Amoraim Shalifnehem. They took care of all these Shmuot of the Amoraim before them. V'kavu al Seder Mesechtot Kol Echad V'Echad Etzal Mishnah Ruya V'Shnuyela. It organized the information under the koteret of the Mishnah under which it belonged. I mean, there wasn't, again, random information or questions here and there as they came up, meaning chronologically or whenever someone thought of a question, but rather the questions now related to a specific body of information or a context of the Mishnah. So they went ahead, Sharim Lateretz. They went ahead and also, and that's what we see many times, which is the Stamma de Gemara asks questions, meaning that they have information or they see something associated with the Mishnah, and therefore they present the questions. And that's what they have. Heim v'amoreim shimahem, them and all the amoreim with them, v'kavu kol b'gemara. Listen to Gemara. Kagon, eitvei, meitvei, reminhi, ibayiluhu. All those questions, which are the Stamma de Gemara, they put together in an organized fashion. Maybe some of them were asked, again, not in order or outside of this context. Some of them weren't asked at all, but they felt it was appropriate to bring that information here and try to clear up what the meaning of the Mishnah was and clear up what the memrots were. What was left out before them? Those that were reformed never organized the information in such a manner that followed the Mishnayot of Rabbi and followed the Masechtot of Rabbi. Simply was, you know, I would call it random, it wasn't random, but obviously information that came together not in an organized fashion. So Rashi, again, in talking about the Gemara, talks about Ravina and Rashi's job as an organizational job. He gives a little more to Ravina and Rashi that they actually asked questions beyond what they had before them. But he looks at both of Rabbi and Ravashi and Ravina as being closing works of their generation, in the sense that they were not necessarily mechadesh something. It wasn't that they were adding something, but simply they were organizing information in a easy to read fashion and easy to understand fashion. And that's what we had the Gemara according to Rashi. And again, here you could argue again that Ravina and Ravashi either did less than that, meaning that it was already organized in the Masechtot, they simply wrote it down and maybe added in things here and there. Or the other possibility is that they did much more than that. They were trying to come to a psak halacha. They were trying to come to a defined end of the halachic process, and therefore they created the Gemara to do that in order to try to come to some conclusions. So again, you could have both extremes of just reading Rashi, because this Rashi we've seen, Lashitato, through Bab Metzia, through Bab Kama, right, and other places, about that Rabbi was simply Masader HaMishnah. And that Ravina and Rashi also, their job was to be Masader, the information that was out there, and bring it together and coalesce it into a uniform fashion where everything follows the Mishnah or topically forms. Right.
And who wrote this Gemara?
Right. No, it's possible that the Ravani Ravashi added it, but it says Ravina Ravashi, Vamoraim Shimahem. There are generations, it's clear there are the, as, including with Rabbi, where Rabbi is Sof Tanaim, there are Tanaim that are after him. I mean that we have Rab Tanu Polig in some places, who is the Talmud of Rabbi, Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, who are both Talmidim of Rabbi. So I mean that when it says he's the conclusion, it's in that context. We don't have a lot, like an absolute black line and that's it. But in that generation of Rabbi, people who, the only Tanaim that are left most likely were the people who touched Rabbi, meaning that they were the Talmidim of Rabbi, right, or connected, or peers of Rabbi. After that point, it seems to be that they, right, dwindle in terms of their of the life of Tanaim and Amoraim. Also, we do have Amoraim because we have Marbar Ravashi, who is obviously Ravashi's son, right? And you have a Meimar Ravashi. You have a generation or two after Ravashi who are still classified as Amoraim. But again, I think they must have touched Ravashi and Ravina, and they must have had some, right, there's input
a,
here.
There's a hole in what Rashi is saying, because he's excluding the possibility that the Tanaim may have discussed the Tamei HaMishnah. He's saying that, you know, what the Tanaim discussed are the Mishnah.
Right. And it's not necessarily...
And the Gemara is Tamei HaMishnah because of the Amoraim.
Right.
What the Tanaim never discussed.
Right. So I don't think... Rashi said in other places that the word Gemara here, in our, which was talking about Tanaim, the Gemara meant Tamei HaMishnah. What Rabbi did not do was organize Tamei HaMishnah. He simply organized the Mishnah. That's all Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that Rabbi did an organizational
event. Why don't we see Tanayim being mentioned in the Gemara?
In terms of...
They're called Braisos, but Braisos is the same thing as a Mishnah.
Right? No, they'll quote Braisos that have the Tama of the Mishnah, and they will see... They'll quote Tanaim that are giving explanations of the Tamim, but that... Again, you have to remember, this is a learning methodology. This is a revolution, what Rabbi did, because it was all Torah Shebaal Peh. And to have it written down and organized in such a structure or fashion is something that was, you know, revolutionary at the time of Rabbi. And to say that they were there.
The writing and also the structure.
Right.
There was never a structure.
So that is revolutionary, and therefore the Mishnah itself is done in a manner that didn't overstep. He tried to leave a lot to be Baal Peh still, that the Tamei Mishnah remained Baal Peh, whereas the writing is what he did there to give highlights in order to allow for that continuation of that learning. All right. So now I'm Rav Kana. Ishtaili Rav Chama Bar Brate De. It's not clear if it's De Chas or De Chamo. Right. So Rav Kana says that I was told a story by Rav Chama, the grandson of Chas or Chama, that Rabba Bar Nachmeni Agav Shmida Nachnafshe. Because of the fear of the Romans, he passed away. So Achlo Bei Kortze Bei Malko. Right. They were planning, they're eating and planning and devising against the Jews in the Roman, right, emperors. But I assume over here that when they say Bei Malko many times, I don't think they necessarily mean the emperor in Rome, but probably the Judean governor who probably had much more shaykhut to the Jewish community here in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm really, Ikachad Gavra B'Yudai, there's this one Jewish individual, the Kamavato Tracer Alfe Gavri Misrael, 12,000 Jews, Yarcha b'kaita v'yarcha b'stavel sitva, that one time in the spring and one time in the fall, that he takes 12,000 people away mikarga d'malko from paying the head tax. Why? Because shadru pristuka d'malko b'shrei lo ashkechei. So they sent a messenger after him and they could not find him. What's the issue here? The issue is that twice a year during the right, the regalim, during the time of the holidays, they used to have the shirim that they used to give, which were called the yarchikala, where they gathered together to learn all the halachot of Pesach, all the halachot before the Yomim Noraim, and he used to give shir for a month. They used to come out and learn by him. So what was the problem? The problem is that, unlike today, where if you don't pay your taxes, they come and find you in your house, and they can pose penalties in other places. Here, the individuals went around house to house, and they showed up. They saw how many people lived there. They saw you lived there, and they collected your head tax from you. But now, everybody left their homes and went to learn by Rabbi Baruch Nachmeni. So when they went to learn by him, the tax collectors went around month to month, and this was their monthly collection, and they show up at everybody's house, and nobody's there. These 12,000 people are gone every twice a year, and he's causing quote-unquote tax evasion, where the government's actually government coffers aren't as full during these 2 months because 12,000 people are missing. So we got to find this guy and take care of this situation. So Rak Vazalmi Pumpadito. So he was in Pumpadito, where obviously he held his shirim until this point. He went from there to Akra. Mi Akra to Agma. He went from Akra to Agma. I don't know if it's swamp or Agma is the name of a place. It's unclear. Mi Agma to Shchin. Went from Agma to Shchin. Mi Shchin to Tzrifa. And from Shchin he went to, again, Tzrifa could be, you know, in the Gemara, Tzrifin or Huts or Sukkot. Or it could mean Tzrifa was the name of the place. It's unclear here. Mi Tzrifa to Eina Demayim. The same thing with this, where he went from Tzrifa, the Huts, to the Eina Demayim. Could be the spring or the name of a place, Eina Demayim. I don't know which one. Mi Eina Demayim to Pumpadito. He circled back home. After. They name it as names of places. I saw others who could translate them as the actual, you know, demarcations of locations, not... right, I assume that the names were associated with what was there. But then, and he returns back to Pumpadita. For Pumpadita, Ashkechei. Right, so basically, they caught up with him. The messenger or the individual was chasing after him, basically came up. Ikla Pristaka de Malko de Haushpiza de Rabba. So they ended up in the same hotel, same bed and breakfast. They ended up there and he heard that he was there and he caught up with him. So Krivu Taku Kame, the Shliach of the Romans, right, the Roman messenger that was here, they brought for him a table, right, as we know from the Gemara and Psachim, right, that's how they ate in their day. Right, that when we bring a table before them is that you know feeding, that the courses were brought for them in these small tables as they ate. Vashkua Tre Kase. They gave him two cups of wine to drink. And then they took the table away. So now, what happens when you have two cups of wine? That the Gemara in Pesachim in the 10th parak describes to us as zugot. So zugot, shedim get a hold of you. When the shedim get a hold of you, hadar pratzufei d'achrei, his head turned backwards on his neck. So that's it's amrulei. So the hosts of the right achsanio, the shviza there say man havilei. What are we going to do now? Gavr the Malku, he's a messenger of the king, and they're going to find out that he came to this hotel, this motel, and all of a sudden his head's facing backwards on his body. You know, they're not going to come after us. So Amalu, krivu takulu kamei, bashkiu achad kasa. Bring a table in front of him, feed him, you know, give him to drink one more cup of wine, v'dayula takami kamei, and take it away from him right away, v'litze. Right, so and then he'll be healed. So Abdullah Hachiv Yitzit. He went ahead, they did that for him, and he was cured. So they had asked Rabbi Barachana what to do. He gave them the instructions, and he was better. So Amar Mida Yadana de Gabra, the Kabina Hachahu. He says, I know for sure the guy I'm looking for is here, because only he could give such advice. He's the only one. Obviously, he was a Talmud Chacham. He knows the one who could help me out in this situation. So Bachish Abatrei searched for him, Ashkech, and he found him. Say, so, Amar, so this Gemara to me. Every time I learn it is unclear to me, but I'll read it how it translates. But I don't know; it doesn't flow so easily in the Gemara. It says Amar Azlina Meha. Basically, the shliach of the government seems to say, "I'll leave him alone. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave Rabbi Bar Nachmani because he helped me out." That's what it sounds like. It says Imikdal Katlu Dahu Gavra Lo Maglina. If they end up killing me. Which is, it's hard because he's speaking in the third person here, so I don't know how it flows so easily from the Gemara. But if they kill me, then nobody will find out that Rabbi Bar Nachmani was here. If they whip him, but meaning me, the Shlech Beis says, Maglina, I will give in because I won't be able to withstand the torture, and I'll tell them where Rabbi Bar Nachmani is. Now, Ajula Kameh. They bring him, meaning Rabbi Nachmani, in front of this messenger. So I'm not sure how that previous statement fits in clearly to the flow of the Gemara. Eilid Adrona, he took Rabbi Nachmani, put him up in a room, and he locked the door in front of him. So again, if he was going to walk away and leave Rabbi Nachmani alone, I don't know why he decided to take him upstairs, lock him up, but sounds like he'll lock him up, see whatever happens, that's fine, and I'm going to leave him here locked up in the room. I don't know if you have...
He says in the end, they ended up catching Rabbi Nachmani. So the Malchus takes him up with Rabbi, and they put him in a room, and they lock it.
I don't know, it sounds like a Tziula Kamei. It stands in front of him.
In the end, a Tziula Kamei, they brought Rabbi in front of the king.
King. Okay. All right. A Tziula Kamei. I don't know, that's either before the Shliach or before the king, as Tzvi is saying. Eile Ladrona, he took him up to a room. He said, Tarke Lebalba, they locked the door on him. Right, the Baba Ban Fein is on his face, you know, in front of him. Bo Rachme, so Rabbi Nachmani davened. Parakashita, so the wall of the room fell, broke down. Arak Vazul Agma, he went and ran away to the swamp. Right, Aviyotiv, Agirda the Dikula, he was sitting on a stump of a palm tree. Vikagaris, and he was learning. So now, Kamiflage b'metifta derikia, they were arguing up in Shemayim. So now, whether this is literal or the Shita Mekubetzes over here says that he dreamed that they were arguing in the Sifta Derkiya. It says, Imbaheret kodemet l'seyar lavan tamei. That the one of the simanei tuma when it comes to tzarat is that if you have a baheret, you have a tzarat, and after you have the tzarat, the seyar, two starot, turn lavan, they turn white. Over there, that's a siman tuma in a baheret, in a one of the negayim. So, if the Baharat is first, and then the Se'arot, Levanot, come afterwards, then it's clearly Tameh. V'im Se'ar Levan, Kodem Le'Baharat. Then if the white hairs precede, right, the Baharat before the Nega, Tahor. Safek. If we don't know which preceded which, what's the Din? So again, Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer Tahor. Hashem says Tahor. Again, the Shita Mekubetzes it says, doesn't say that was literally Hashem, but those that, right, were close to Hashem said Tahor. The Kula Metifta Drakiya and the rest of the base measures said Amrei Tamei. When it's a Safek, it's Tamei. So Machok is here either between Hashem and the Mesifta Drakiya or between those who were close to Hashem and the Mesifta Drakiya. Tamei. And according to again, the Shita Magles is all a dream. Rabbi Ma Nuchach, who's going to paskin for us? Where I said, Nuchach Rabba Bar Nachmani. Let Rabbi Bar Nachmani come up. The Amar Rabbi Bar Nachmani, Ani Yachid bin Negaim, Ani Yachid Balgot. I'm the, you know, expert, right? I'm the unique in the area of Negaim and Olalot. So they said, let's, if he's so good, bring him up. So, Ashadur al-Shlicha Batrei. They sent a Shliach after him, and when you send a Shliach from Shemaim after him, you know who that Shliach is. That is the Malach Hamavet. Right, so, Lo Avamatzi Malach Hamavet, Lamikrav Lei. Malach Hamavet couldn't get close to him. He didn't stop learning. He was always learning. So it was impossible for the Malach HaMavet to overcome him, right? Similar to the story of David, right, Malach. Adachi, similar again to the story of David Malach. Noshiv Zika brought a wind that came along, but Avish Bene Kane, and it caused noise, a rustling between the stalks or between the, you know, the brush. Savar Gunda de Parsevu, that he thought that it was a legion of troops that were coming after him, that the Romans were after him at that point in time. Amartinach Nafshe Dao Gavra, Veloim Sarbita de Machuta. He basically took his life in his own hands. He says, let me pass away and not be caught by the enemy. So obviously all he had to do was stop learning for a second, and that was enough. The Malach HaMavet gets a hold of him. Gavanach Nafshe, when he passed away, Amar Tahor Tahor. So it says, Tahor Tahor, Yatzta Bagat Kovamar, Shrecha Rabba Ben Achmeni Shugufcha Tahor, Yatzta Nishmatcha B'Tahor. That your goof is Tahor, and your neshama came up to Shemayim B'Tahor. But obviously it's a play on the story before, which is that they wanted a Psak Alach of Rabba Ben Achmeni. It says Tahor Tahor, that he's paskening that it is Tahor in that case of the Safek. Nafal Pitka Merikia B'Pumpedita. Problem is that where was Rabba Ben Achmeni at this point in time? He was out in the Agam, he was out in the swamp. So he's all alone. He passed away in the swamp, and nobody knows that he's passed away, that he's dead, that laying dead out in the swamp, and there's nobody to take care of him. So there's a pitka, a little note, right, or letter, fell mishamayim in Pumpedita. Rabbi Bar Mecheni t'pakesh b'yeshiva shel mala. They requested Rabbi Bar Mecheni up in the heavens above in the yeshiva shel mala, and therefore, you know, guys should start looking for him. So they nafko by v'rabba v'kulhu rabbanon, they went out to deal with the mace, to do take care of right, the rabbi and Mecheni, and to pay him the proper kavod that he deserved. They didn't know where to find him. Azul the ga'agma, they went out to the swamp. Chazu tzafre metalale, they saw that there were some, it sounds like birds that were hovering over a certain area. The kaime, you know, they were stationary, they stayed over those areas. Amrei Shmamina Hotamhu. They said for sure he's over there. Safdua Tvata Yome, they went ahead and they eulogized him for 3 days. Vitvatale Luta and 3 nights. Nafal Pitka, another note dropped down from Shemaim. Aparesh Hebin Nidui. Anybody who leaves here at this point in time will be excommunicated. I mean, that's not sufficient. The eulogies have not been sufficient yet. Safdua Shiva Yome. They then eulogized him. It's not clear here if it's an additional 7 days, or probably more likely was 7 days, including the first three. Right? Nafal pitchul uchul v'tchem l'shalom. Then it said, "New." They got a next note. Go home. Time to go home. Hamo yoma denach nafshei. On the day that Rabbi Merachmini passed away, dalya zapo. Right. So there was a wind, a strong wind, almost like sounds like a hurricane strength winds that came, and that which. There was an individual, Dare, the Hautaya, it carried this Arab merchant, Karachiv Gamel, that was riding a camel, Mehai Gisa, the Nar Papa, Vashaja Behach Gisa. It was on one bank of the Nar Papa, and it pushed him to the other side of the river. I mean, it carried him. The wind was so strong, it carried him to the other side of the river. So I remember Mehai. So he said, you know, what's going on here? This is Arab merchant. What type of wind is this that it carries me over here? So I relay Nachnam Shade, the Rabbi Renachmeni. The Rabbi Renachmeni passed away, so. It's obvious that the chisaron be'olam, right, was felt. Right, the death of Rabbi Menachemi was felt. And again, I think that we've seen this before with the other chachamim that Chazal portray in the natural world, right, the chisaron that was caused with the death of an amora or a tano. That it's not simply that they pass away and there's nothing's changed. The world has changed when they pass away. And the example, the mashal of that, is the fact that there's a physical difference. They thought about it, you know, in nature, that nobody, for instance, with Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, when he passed away, as long as he was in the attic, no chayot raot came to that area. It's a siman that the presence of the individual was still felt there, right? And then once he was taken away and he was buried, then that presence was lost, and then the nature took its course again. So again, these, I think, unnatural events are indications of that. So Amr Lefanav, this Tayez merchant, said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bino Shalom, Kulei Ama Didach. Who? The whole world is yours. Rabbi Menachemi didach. Right? And Rabbi Menachemi belongs to you. At the Rabbi didach. You are for Rabbi. Rabbi is yours. Mean that you love him. You can have him. You took him. Am I come chavet leil alma? What are you destroying the world? I mean, I find that you have a close relationship with him. But you took him back. But that shouldn't be a cause for the world to be destroyed. It's a nachs apel. This storm ceased at that point in time. But I think, again, here the recognition that this individual of the status or the stature of Rabbi Menachem Chomeini is what allows the wind to stop. I mean, the indication of the natural disasters or that which is bad is an indication of the, right, that people should be aware of the stature or the importance of this individual. Once that recognition is realized or reached already, then there's no, the wind is not necessary anymore. Right, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Bal Basar Hava. So obviously you can figure out why this is over here. Tosfos says that this is a continuation of the hefty men, Talmidei Chachamim, going back to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Now Tosfos over here makes the statement that all the Gemaras here are basically, you know, again, the flowing one after the other, that there's a connection between them. And that's why I said before that you have to explain that Gemara about Amav Da'aretz, that you have to connect it back to the Gemara and the Darim, otherwise it doesn't make so much sense, the flow of the Gemara. So now the Gemara is back to Rabbi Shimon Chalafta Bavasar. Yom Echad Avachamim Alei, he was very hot. He went up to the rocky precipices of the mountain, the peaks of the mountain, in order to get the cool wind, the cool breezes that went there. So he headed over to the Gush. So Amalei Lebrate, he said to his daughter, Biti, Hanifi Alei Menifa, you know, fan me with the fan. I'll give you bread. I saw one translation of spike nard. I don't know if that was the translation. Rashi talks about gudot shel nard v'asui kishibulim. It's made like piles. I don't know what nard. Yeah, I mean it's spike nard. I don't know what these are, but some sort of unique form of bread or pastries that I'll give for you for doing for fanning me. In the meantime, a wind came and blew stronger. It says, how many loaves of bread should I pay or give to the Mari Daichi would be of this either this Adon or this Tahor one, which would be referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that, how much do I need to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu here who brought me a wind to cool me off? All right. I mean, something to raise b'chum. It might be that it doesn't have a shem nega, right? That the whole that it has to be nefach levan. That the way the Torah describes it is that it has to be in order to be tameh. It has to be nefach levan. That it has to turn white on the baharet. And without that knowledge of it turning white on the baharet, it's not considered a siman tuma. That it lacks the being nigva as a siman tuma. I assume that's what you'd have to say in that case. All right, now for a short respite, we're going to go back to the Mishnah, and then we'll be back to the Agadata. It says at the end of the Mishnah that they have to pay the workers like the Minhag Medina. So where it says, I call the Tuyei Mai. What does that mean? Where does that come to include? So that Tuyei Ba'atru, then he gave Michrach Rifto Mishtei Anpuka. So it includes places where they feed him bread and they feed him a meal and they give them to drink a revius of Yayin. So D'i Amr Lahu, if the Baal Bayit comes and says to them, Kadimu, come early, Ba'ayti Luchu, and I'll give it to you. That's not, you don't have that right to make that declaration. Tosfos brings two pshatim down with it. Either he says to them, listen, come before Netzach Amo. I'll feed you guys. I'll give you your meal that you are entitled to. Just come before Netzach Amo. Work starts at Netzach Amo. So you're right, you'll get your meal. Just show up before Netzach Amo and I'll feed you and then you get to work at Netzach Amo. Or, right, the other term is that the meal is not ready when they get there. So he says, listen, go out and work. Go out, and then I'll bring you your food in the field, right, and you'll eat then. So both those cases, they can object. Because the minhag medina is that they're entitled to a meal. Entitled to a meal means that it's part of their work day. It doesn't have to be before their work day, number one. And number two is, it doesn't have to be, I mean, that's the first thing they get. They show up at work, they get their meal, and then they go out to work. So the Baal Bayit has to provide, minhag medina. It doesn't have a right to change that or demand of them that it'll be outside the context of the work day and the work environment or the normal way where would they be eating first. So again, that's if you remember the Mishnah, we mentioned this before, that if he makes a specific deny, otherwise they accept it, then that works. This is a case where he doesn't say anything beforehand, then all of a sudden he wants to change or have it be different afterwards. And then the Gemara says, Maaseh Rabbi Yochanan b'Matzion. So this is the case of Rabbi Yochanan b'Matzion, which he had a number of times. We had it early in the Masechta, that we had it by the Mishnah, now we have it again. Shamar libnot, save us cholano, right, po'alim. We go out and hire out workers for us. Maaseh listor. the Maaseh is coming to go against the position of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, then he goes out to his son and says, go hire them. And he says, oh, go change what you said to them because we're going to have to feed them these huge meals. But what happened to Kol Kamin Hagamedina? Why is that? Maaseh says, it's missing some words. If he indicates to them that he's going to feed them, then he gives, has to give them in excess. What does that mean? That means that if the minhag medina is to feed the workers anyway, and then he goes in and he says, listen, I'll give you food, I'm going to feed you meals, then it's clear that when he says that, it must be in excess of what they would have gotten otherwise. Because if he had said nothing, they would have been fed the meals based on minhag medina. So then when he goes to them and he says, I'm going to give you meals, it means that he must have to feed them in excess of what the minhag medina is. And that's the problem that arose for him over here. He gave them, he said to them, we're going to feed you. Right, so that you would not be Yotze Yechov here because you said in excess of a normal meal. I'm going to bring you a big meal. So a big meal, what are the darim of a big meal? He says, these are Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we're going to go, they're going to look in the Torah, what's a meal of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Shlomo Melech, and they're going to say, that's the obligation. So he says, go and quantify for them exactly what it means, that we're giving them in excess of the normal meals that are presented to workers. So now back to the Agadato. To suggest here that to give an example, for instance, in Hochos Tisha B'Av, what do we say by Hochos Tisha B'Av? When Tisha B'Av falls out on either Shabbos or Yom Rishon on Sunday, then it always falls out on Sunday. So it says there that one can eat, as opposed to by a regular Tisha B'Av, every Tisha B'Av, you have Suda Mafseket, right? What is Alacha? How they kovel Alacha? That a person can have Shal Shudas, ke Suda Shlomo Melech B'Shato. That's how the halacha is described. So if you want to describe a big meal, you want to describe something, presentation of food, they talk about Sudat Shlomo Melech. So how come over here, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan Matzi, he's describing it as Sudas Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So the indication, or the implication, is that Sudas Avraham was greater than that of Sudat Shlomo Melech. V'aktiv, let's look at the description of Sudat Shlomo Melech. It says, V'ayi lechem Shlomo le'yom echad. This is a day's meal for Shlomo. 30 kor solit, 30 kor of flour, fine flour, 30 kor kamach, and 60 kor of regular flour. Asarah bakar brim, 10 cattle that were healthy, mean fed, well fed. Asrim, the pasuk says asrim, I don't know why it says asarah here. Bakar ri'i, right, then 20 cattle that were grazing cattle. Umei atzel, and 100 of the flocks, whether sheep or goats. Levad, that excludes the me'ayal, gazelle, tzvi, a deer, v'yachmur, whatever this yachmur is, u'barburim, avusim, which probably means the Gemara is going to discuss what these barburim, avusim, yes, stuffed geese or stuffed fowl, over here. So now, v'amar gurion ben astion, mishmei derav, halalu la'milan shel tabachim. When we're talking about the amount of flour that was used here, that was simply to absorb, right? They had in their day, they used to put caked flour on the top of the pot to absorb the froth or the bad, smells that came out. They used to absorb it into the flour. So this flour wasn't even for the bread. That was simply just for the amilan shel tabachim, for the tops of the pots. Rav Yitzchak Amar lo tzike kdeira. These were just for the, the machal that is called stikek deira, which is some sort of bread or baked item that goes along with the in the pot with the some of these meats or other flavors that go in there. Amar Yitzchak elef nashim ayu l'shlomo. Shlomo had 1,000 wives. Kol achad v'chad astalo beveita. Each one of them prepared this amount in their house. Kach my time. Zusvura shemetzli suedayom. They didn't know who he was going to eat by. He had a choice. It was not easy. 1,000 wives, you have to choose who was eating by that day. So each day they prepared this amount. So you see that there was an excessive amount of food that was prepared for Shlomo HaMelech. How could Avram even compare or compete? It says Avram, Ela Bakar Ratz Avram. Avram took a Bakar. Vayigach Ben Bakar Rach Vatov. So now you're talking about one little Bakar compared to Shlomo HaMelech. So Amar Yehuda Amar Av. Now we can say that it says Ben Bakar Echad is one, Rach Shnayim, Vitov Shlosha, three calves. There were three calves that he took. All right, Hatam Tlata Tore, Tlata Gavre. So the Gemara answers up, still, with three, that still doesn't make it that Avram's meal is greater. So the Gemara says, no. By Avram Avinu, it says three calf for three individuals. I mean, the three malachim that come to visit. Hachal Uchol Yisrael V'Yehuda. There, it's for all of Yisrael V'Yehuda, which is in the perk before, a couple psukim, two psukim beforehand. It says, Shneemar, Yehuda V'Yisrael Rabim Kechol Asher Al Hayam. That Yehuda V'Yisrael were numerous, like the sand on the beach. So now you know that he was, Shlomo HaMelech wasn't preparing something for himself. Shlomo HaMelech was to feed all those that came up, or all those that were involved in working with him. So that came up to the consecration of the Mikdash. So over there, when we talk about on an individual basis, what Avram provided was much greater to each individual, rather than the total quantity of which was provided in Sudat Shlomo HaMelech. Now the Gemara comes back, my berburim abusim. What does it mean that these stuffed fowl? Samara Avshav simotam bal kocham. That they feed them against their will, meaning that they are force-fed in order to fatten them. Not that they eat in excess, meaning that they're fed a lot. They've gotten a lot of feed, and they feed them till they fatten themselves. So that when you bring a shore, right, you bring an ox from its grazing grounds, below anis that was never worked, and a tarnagolet, and a chicken, or right, that was from the ashpata, is from the garbage, but that's what you know, mean it, from its feed. Below anisa, that had never been given birth, never had chicks, or never sat on chicks, never had to do any work. So that's the Amrab. Why did they do this? Amrab Yochanan, muvchashe b'meil mo'ot shor, muvchashe b'alfo tarnagolet. The best animal, the choicest of the animal is the ox, and the choicest of the fowl, of the birds, is the tarnagolet, is the chicken. So these two items, since they are the choicest meats, they would bring those meats where they weren't worked, because if they're not worked, they're fatter, right? They have much more fat and they're bigger. So that was what it meant over here, that they brought these animals that were the fattest, the biggest, right? That's what it meant, barburim avusim. Right? That's the third possibility. The fourth possibility is Amar Amemar, Zakta Ukmata. It is a black rooster, Beibutnita, that is, right, that was fattened in the house, meaning that it has either fat in the house or it has a huge belly. B'dishkachta b'natzire, that's found between the presses, the wine presses. D'lomatzia pasya kanyo, that it was fattened. It ate the seeds, right, or the pits that came out of the presses that they used to dump on the side there. So whatever was left over, the refuse, it used to, that was its feed. And therefore it got fat. And it was so fat that it couldn't fly the coop. I mean, that it basically couldn't move because it was so heavy. So that's the how, well, the last or fourth description of what these barburim avusim were. Now, Vela Bakar Ratz Avraham. So now we're going to go back. Now the Gadita is going to focus on Avraham Avinu. Amar Avidu Marav, Ben Bakar Echad, Rach Shnaim Betov Shlosha. That was the lima that we just saw before. They brought three Bakar. Veim Echad. He said, why don't you just say there was one? Said, right, that they're adjectives. Amri and Shay. Rakich v'tav, right? That it's soft and good. I mean, that it's a description of the meat. It's a description of the animal. It's not that he gave three different animals. It's one animal that has a description of what this animal was. But it says, imkenech tov rach tov. And it should say rach tov, meaning that what's my vitov and good? Shmamina the drasha. Right, I'm not sure grammatically, again, whether how correct the drasha is, meaning that to say rach tov would not be as you would always say and with an adjective. You would include both adjectives together. But here the Gemara says it could have said rach tov. In fact, it said vitov in the case that there should be a drasha. It says ematrei. So we're going to say, okay, there's two. So the Gemara says, because rach doesn't have any drasha with it. It's only vitov, which is the vav is extraneous over here. It's ematrei. Midatov the drasha, rach nami the drasha. Nah, once tov is a drasha, rach is also a drasha. Right, so the Gemara assumes that there were three animals here. Meitiv rabba bar ula v'itim rav oshia v'itim rav natan bar rabbi oshia v'itena lanar v'yimeher lasot tuto. That he gave it to his nar to do it quickly. Kochad v'chad yavei lanar. Each one, achad. Each one he brought to a separate individual. V'yikach chem'a v'chalav u'ben bakar asher asa. He brought the butter and the milk and the ben bakar that he made. V'iten lifnayem. And he brought for them the kama kama, the matcha, I to the kamayo. As each one was ready, he brought it in front of them. Valamali tlato. Why does he have to give three servings? This gave a chad. You could give them one serving. I mean, this is a huge, a calf for one person is an unbelievable amount of servings. Mechana ba'aba kadei lachilam shlosh lishonot b'chardal. To give them three tongues in mustard. I don't know if pickle means pickled tongues or tongues and mustard, which was a delicacy. So in order to provide this delicacy for each individual, you needed three calves. So they gave each one of them these this delicacy. Right, Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaninai, Lo'olam Ashnei Adam Min HaMinhag. From here you say that when you're in Rome, do as the Romans. That's why, Shrei Moshe Allah L'Marom, V'lo Achal Lechem. Moshe goes up to Shemayim and it says, 40 Yom, L'Am Lechem L'Ochal D'Maim L'Shatiti. He didn't eat. Why? Because that's what the Malachi Asherit do up there. So the Moshe did just like the Malachi Asherit. Over here, Malachi Asherit, Yerdu L'Mato. And the Malachi Asherit came to visit Avraham, they came down. And it says over there, V'achlu Lechem, that they ate the bread. Ah, V'achlu Saka D'Atcho. What does it mean they ate? Malachim don't eat. So what do you mean they ate? So Ella Ema Niru Kamish Achlo V'Shato. It looks like as if they ate. They appeared to be eating. Not that they actually ate, but they appeared to be eating. Tosus quotes a Medrash that says that they were actually literally eating. That the Medrash in the Elio Rabo sounds like they actually literally ate and doesn't go through this secondary part of the Gemara, which changes it from literally eating to appearing to eating. So Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Koma Shasa Avram L'Malach Hesheret V'Atzmo, Shakarish Baruch Hu L'Venav V'Atzmo. Anything that Avram himself did to service the Malachim, then Hashem did for Bnei Yisrael himself. B'choma Shasa Avram Yedei Shliach, all that Avram did a Yedei Shliach, Shakarish Baruch Hu L'Venav Yedei Shliach, then Hashem also did it through a Shliach. V'la Bakar Ratz Avram, Avram ran to the Bakar, so that's so too. Bnei Yisrael, when they got the Slav in the Midbar, it says, Ruach Nasa Meit Hashem, came from Hashem directly, the Slav. He took butter and milk. And it says in the Torah, He sent the man straight down from Shemayim. So Hashem provided in these two areas, the meat and the bread that Avram provided to the Malachim directly, Hashem sent down from Shemayim, or from the wind, from Eit Hashem. It says, so just like Avram serviced the Malachim, is standing under the tree, and then it says by Moshe, when Moshe goes to get the water for the people by Masa Umriva, it says that Hashem, I'll be standing there. I mean, that I'll be present when the water is giving. Avram went with them to send them off. I mean, he accompanies them to send them off. And it says, Hashem Aleich Lifnehem Yomam. And that Hashem was with them, the Anan HaKavod, the Anan Yomam, and the Esh Laila, that Hashem accompanies them. Yukach Na Me'at Mayim. Right, so there it says, this is the one where he did through a Shliach. Go bring and fetch water for them. There it's Vikita Batsuri Yatsuba Menu Mayim. It's over there, it's that he hits the tour and then the water comes out. That's not directly from Hashem, but it comes from the rock. Shata Am, and then the people would drink. Upligi the Rama Khamar Barchanina. This argues on the position of Khamar Barchanina. The Amar of Khamar Barchanina, Bakhaintan de Bamishmal, Vishkar Shlosha Zachul Shlosha. For the schut of these three items, they were Zochet to three things, Ayadeh, Moshe Aaron. Vishkar Chemab Khalav, Zachulaman. For the schar of butter and the milk, they were zochel man in the midbar. Pschar, who made alehem zachud amud anan. Because of who made alehem, they were zochel to the anan. Pschar yukach namet maim zachud beirash miriam. So where's the argument? The argument's about the anan. Because in the case of the man being equated with the butter and the milk, right, that is the same in both cases. And the yukach namet maim and beirash miriam are connected also because of the tour of the maim. The one that he disagrees with is who made alehem. Because in the previous memra, when he says, who made alehem, tachar eitz, we said that was hinei u'melech v'nech Hashem ala tzur. But over here, he says, hinei u'melech alehem is achud amud anan, and he gets amud anan from the fact that he accompanied them when they leave towards Sodom. All right. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru, yeah, b'schai yukach nat mayim, zachud b'er shumayim, yukach nat mayim, v'rachud tzur regleichem. So the Gemara here goes, so that Avram, when the Malachim show up, says, listen, take some water, wash your feet. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel, Amrulo, the Malachim chastise him. Chi bar Arvaim, Arvaim, Hashatanu, you are suspecting us of being these Arabs, Shehem Ishtachvim, Lavakru Lehem, that bow down to the dust of their feet. Var Yatzami Me'enu Yishmael. Didn't you already have Yishmael that is already doing that? I mean, they were giving him a little musak. That how could it be? What you're worrying about us? Worry about what's going on in your own household right now. So Hashem appears to him in Elohim Ray, and he's sitting there at the heat of the day. What does it mean at the heat of the day? So Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Oto Yom Yom Shlishi Shel Mila Shel Avraham Ayah. It was the third day of the Mila for Avraham. Hashem came to be Mevaker Cholim. Right? That's what we see in the Gemara in Sulta, that Hashem is Vakir Chulim. Took out the heat, right? A strong sun, so nobody would be passing by, in order that Avram wouldn't have to be bothered with being Nasa Torchim in the case where he wasn't feeling so well. Shadre Eliezer, the Mepek, the Bara, he sent Eliezer out to go check to see if there are any guests there. Nafak Veleshkach, he went out and didn't find any guests. Amarlo Mehemlanach, Avram said, I don't trust you. I know Amrei Taman, Leitem Nuta Ba'avde. That's what we say over there, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, we say that there's no trust in servants. Nafak, he himself went out. Chazil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kaya Bava. He saw Hashem was standing there at the doorway. Hainu Dichtiv, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Al Na Tavor Me'al Avdecha. Don't leave me. Why don't leave me? Kevin Dechazad Ka'asiv Isharei. Abram had to go replace his bandage. He was unraveling and redoing his bandages for his Mila. So he says, Hashem, don't leave. I got to go take care of my bandages. Hashem says, it's not proper for me to stay around while he's doing this. So Hashem leaves. That's why it says afterwards. How come only after he says, don't go past here, does he see, look up, and he sees that there are three people there? He says, he goes out to run after him. In the beginning, they were standing by him. When they saw that he was in pain, right, it was difficult for him, and he was rebandaging himself again. We can't stay here, so they moved away. So that's why he has to chase after them. So the Gemara here clearly argues on, and that's what Tosfos points out of here, the Breishit Rabbah. Because in the Breishit Rabbah, it says that when he says Al Nava Torah Avdecha Hacha, because the Gemara learns in the Gemara in Shabbos, from here you see that Achnasas Orchim is your ter mi Hakabalat Pnei Ashchina, is greeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because over here it says that Avram says, "Don't pass by, don't leave me." Hashem came to visit Avram, and Avram says, "Please don't leave." Why does Avram say, "Please don't leave"? On the Gemara in Shabbos is because he sees the three Orchim outside, so he runs out to greet them. So he says to Hashem, "Hang on 1 minute, I'm going to get the Orchim." So from that, the Gemara in Shabbos concludes that Gedola Achnasat Orchim, the Achnasat Orchim is greater than Kabbalat Pnei Hashchina, because here Avram was Mekabel Pnei Hashchina, and yet he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hang on for a second while I go greet the guests. And that has to do with the way you read the beginning of the Parsha Vayera. It says, Vayera V'Hashem B'lonei Mamrei V'Urshim Petachol K'chom Eyom V'Yisayinav V'Yar Yisiz V'Yinei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav. So that's what we just learned now. And Nitzavim Alav was that they were standing right over him. Vayar, Yaratz Likatam. Now he has to go run out to them. Why is that? Because at first they were right over him. They saw that it wasn't appropriate. They backed away. Vayomar. And now he says. So now there's a disjointer, a non sequitur here, because why it says Vayelav Hashem Belenei Mamrei Vuhushe Petachol. And then Chomayom. And then it says Vayzavayena Vayar Vinei Shloshanashim. Now in the third pasuk it says Vayomer. Now the question of how to read this is Vayomer Hashem. That's one way to read it, because it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So it doesn't mean Vayomer, right, Hashem, Adoshem, don't pass away, and that's the way the Gemara in Shabbos reads it. The other possibility to read it is Vayomer Adonai, Imna Matzatechenenu Atavor Me'al Avdecha. Adonai meaning the Malachim, the oldest, right, the head of the group there, and that would mean that it's Adonai Bechol, as a, you know, not a Shem Kodesh. So that's the question of how to read it. I mean, if you read it as a Kodesh, that's what the Gemara in Shabbos does, reads it as Kodesh, therefore it's referring to Hashem. Hashem don't go away. Right? They're never here. Now the Gemara over here, it says also, reads it as Al Nar Tavor Me'Avdecha, reads it as Kodesh, but it still reads it as being Kodesh, Al Tavor Me'Avdecha, is that the visit of Hashem, don't leave me, and then Hashem leaves because of the discomfort over here. So that's why it reads it. Both of them read it as Adoshem, as being Hashem Hashem, but they read it, the flow in the Psukim, which is the obvious problem, that what's jumping out, what the Midrashim are trying to address, is that there's a Pasuk in between. It talks about the Malachim after there's Hashem in the first Pasuk, and Hashem, his name is mentioned in the third Pasuk. So the way to deal with it is either to say that it's not Hashem Hashem, one way, or if you say Hashem Hashem, they have to explain like the Midrashim do over here. Alright, Gemara continues. Matinu shlosha anashim. Who were these three individuals? Gemara says Michael, Gabriel, Urifael. There are three malachim. Michael shebado baseret Sarah. Michael comes to tell Sarah about the fact that she will have a child. Rifael shebado rapeot the rapeot Abraham is coming to cure Abraham. Gabriel, Azel, the Mapchei Sdom, and Gabriel, which was the Malach of Din, right, of Gvura, is one who goes to be Mapchei Sdom to flip over Sdom. Vaktiv, Vayavo, Shnei Malachim Sdoma, Vayarev. So, you know, it says afterwards that two of Malachim reached Sdom. Now, if Michael was there to talk to Sarah, Raphael for Abraham, how come there are two Malachim left? There should be only one Malach left, which is Gabriel, who's going to destroy Sdom. Daza Michael Bade. That Michael joins him, Lishaz Ve Lot, to grab Lot out of there. Deganami Dichtiv, because it says, Vayapoch et Arim Hael. It says that he, in the singular, flipped over these or destroyed these cities. Veloktiv, Yafchu, in the plural. Shema Mina, that only one of them actually did the job of destroying the cities of Sdom Ve'Amora, but two of them went, one to get Lot out of there. So now, Tosus asked the question, this famous question, then Ein Malach, one malach can't do two jobs. I mean, that's the idea. The whole idea of a malach is that a malach is unable, has no bechira, is created or is instructed to do what he has to do. That's exactly what a malach is. Someone who carries out instructions. So that's, he says, how could it be? V'yesh lomar, as to say, dekan lo asa Michael b'shlichut achat. It's two different shlichut. One is to come to speak to Sarah, and the other one is to go save Lot. And that they're two independent shlichut. Because when do we say dein malach echad oseh shlichot? That is dafik b'makom echad, in one location or one mission. Ein oseh bein shlichot. But that's not the case here. In this case, he did it in two different locations, two different shlichot. He finished with Sarah, and then he's then instructed to go to both. So it was a separate mission. That's what one answer Tosfos says. This quotes the secondary. He quotes in the Bereishit Rabba. It says that Raphael was the one who went to Lot. So that Raphael went to be merape Abraham. Right, and then he went to be merape Lot. Over there, it doesn't say that he was merape. Right, right. That's exactly. So the over there it does not say that he was merape Abraham, but you could answer then that rufa batala inyan echad. That's what exactly what you were saying, Tzvi. That if it's rufa, then you can easier. That it was one mission to go and heal to save. Right, so go heal Abraham and save Lot, and. Rabbeinu Elchanan has a question about the fact that it sounds like the two malachim went to save Lot. Because if you remember, when it takes Lot out of the city, it says that they grab a hold of him and they throw him out of the city. As the sun's rising over the city, they throw him out. That's in the plural. Right? It's only when it's in the singular, it's one of them. So you say you have to say that the one who came to him, Hapak Stone, was there encouraging them to leave. Not that he was helping Lot leave, but he's there saying to him, I can't destroy the city till you leave. While the other machlach has taken them out. So not that he was there saving Lot, but that he was present because he had to be there to destroy the city, and Lot needed to leave. That's where Bachanan answers it. Okay, Maishno legabi Avram dichtev came kasher dibarto. When the malachim come to Avram and he implores them to stay and to eat with them, they say, okay, right? And we'll do like you say. Maishno legabi Lot dichtev vayivtzar bama old. He had to... Right, he had to encourage them strongly to stay, meaning that they were refusing to stay, and he had to really pressure them to stay with him. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, this is a din that we've seen before. Mikan shemisarvim lekatan, meim misarvim legadol. You're familiar. You can see that one is allowed to reject the overtures of someone who is a katan, who is not of a great stature, but not to one who is a great stature. You must respond immediately to their request, and that's again by tefillah. We talk about this: whether you're allowed to, when people come to ask you for tefillah, to endaven, whether you should be misarev or not. Now, k'tiv says ve'echa pat lechem uk'tiv ve'labakar ratz Abraham. Amar Rabbi Elazar mikan shetzadikim omrim at vosim harbe. This is the famous line, right, that Avram was emor ma'at vaseh arbe. Why? Because he says, v'chabed lechem. He tells him, I'm going to bring you some bread. And then what does he do as soon as he tells him he's going to bring him bread? V'lo bakar retz Avram. He runs to go get a calf, to get meat for them. So he's providing for them in excess of what he had said he would give them as a meal. Minalan. And then the other way around, where do we know that? V'rshayim omrim arbe v'afilu ma'at enem mosim. They say a lot, and even a little they don't do. Minalan, from the famous, again, the story of Ephron. Be correct. In the beginning, it says Eretz Arba Meot Shekel Kesef. Says between me and you, 400 silver coins. You know, what's the big deal? Right. Over la socher. So not only had to pay him 400 silver coins, but they had to be over la socher. To show shakmilei ela kantere. He took from him these what the kantere, which are. Large, it seems to be large coins, and the way Rashi describes it, it says Mishko Gadol, heavy weighted coin, Shikorim, sent there, which is mea maneh, 100 maneh, which is center, I assume from center, senta is 100. So I'm assuming that's what it means over here, that some sort of center that is 100 coins. It comprised, the weight was so heavy, it comprised 100 coins in it. Dika duchta de karile de tikla kantira. There's some places that called shkalim a kanta. Right, so because of that, we see from this limud over here that Avram acted in a way which was emor ma'at vase harbe. And in contrast to him, Afron, who interacted with him, was emor harbe vase ma'at. He spoke a lot and he did very little. And again, even when it came to the pricing, he said, I'll give it to you for free. When Avram insists on paying, then he comes up with a high price and he insists that the coinage that is paid in be the best coins that are available. All right, we'll step over here.